is one that isn't often dealt with. But when you take consecutive Bible teaching, you have to face them all. We want to talk tonight on the sin unto death. What is it? And we trust that we can be of help to you in taking the Word of God and making it very plain. We will differentiate between the unpardonable sin of Matthew 12 and the sin unto death of 1 John chapter 5. So come with us tonight at the 7 o'clock hour. Now take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. The book of Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 comes right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 1. Before we read the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word, shall we? Heavenly Father, you know our need this morning. Oh God, we pray that there may be a holy hush over our audience and over ourselves. Protect us with that blood, the precious blood of Christ. And we pray that as thy word is read and as we seek to expound it this morning, that it truly may be the voice of God being heard in this place. May it be true of us as those disciples of old who stood on that great mountain when it was declared they saw no man save Jesus only. These things we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In looking over my records of what I have been speaking about for the past several months, I have noticed that much of the ministry, our Sunday morning ministry, has been as a result of my consecutive reading through the Word of God. And this morning's message is no exception. Recently, I've been reading through the book of Proverbs, and I've come to the conclusion that what is recorded there is as modern as today, because the book deals with problems that you and I have to face every day of our lives. Without doubt, the book of Proverbs is probably the greatest collection of sound and sane advice. Arnett says of the book of Proverbs, "These are laws from heaven for life upon earth." You see, a proverb is a pithy little statement which is formulated in such a way that it's very easy to remember. Now, if I were asked in a theological class to outline the book of Proverbs, I think I'd have a real job. I don't think I could really outline the book of Proverbs. And the reason for it is that it does not flow like a continuous moving picture. But rather, the book of Proverbs seems to me to be a series of slides that are projected on the screen, and each one is a message in itself. Now, the book of Proverbs was inspired by the Holy Spirit, as the entire Word of God is, but the human penmen were three. Solomon was one of the great writers in the book of Proverbs, then a man by the name of Lemuel, and another man by the name of Agar. Now, the book of Proverbs is an education in itself. It deals with all the way from spanking a child to ruling a kingdom. The book of Proverbs talks about the liquor problem, talks about the installment buying problem. It also deals with juvenile delinquency, talks about labor and management. You meet all kinds of people in the book of Proverbs. You meet the brawling woman. You meet the proud fool. You meet the prostitute, and you meet the ideal wife. But over and above all that, you meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Proverbs. If you substitute in the book of Proverbs the Lord's name for the word wisdom, you'll see that he's almost in every area of the book of Proverbs. Someone says, you're stretching it just a bit. Oh, no, I'm not. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But there's something else in the book of Proverbs, And it's that we want to deal with in our message this morning. Now, if I would come up to you and ask you as individuals, give me a complete but a compounded description of God or the Lord Jesus, what do you think you would say? I think nearly everyone would answer in the words recorded in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 and 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, these words, God is love. And you're absolutely right. And we revel in this great and glorious fact that God is love. But ladies and gentlemen, that is only part of the nature of God. Now with this in mind, we want to delve, if we can, into the mind of God a bit deeper this morning and hear some arresting words from the lips of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Follow in your Bibles, please, as I read. God is speaking. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a portion. What a portion. Now I have reason to believe this morning that there are some who are in this congregation who are rather surprised at what we have just read. I can hear someone saying, I never dreamed that God had thoughts like that. Well, he does. Furthermore, some may be saying, is this the God who is described in 1 John chapter 4 as the God of love? Same God. Now I want to take these two ideas, which are absolutely poles apart. God is love. And I want to equate it with what we have read from Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to bring them together in the message during the time that's allotted to me. Now, when you're studying the Bible, it's good to ask some questions. We're going to ask three this morning. What? Why? And how? But before we get into the body of the message, I want to emphasize one phrase which we have read because it's so important. Again, I repeat, God is speaking. Look at Proverbs 1 and 24. Because I have called and you have refused. I'm asking God that these words will burn themselves into our minds. Now, what is God doing? Everybody has an idea of what they think God is doing at the present time. Some feel that God is recording the good and the bad deeds of men. Other people have the idea that God is protecting them from danger that is lurking on every hand. Other people think that God is listening to prayers. Other people have the idea that God is conducting the worship and the praise of heaven. Now, I suppose in a certain aspect that these things may be true. But do you know what God is doing right at this time? God is doing all that infinite love and wisdom can do to call men and women to himself. Now, it's not up to me to judge. It's not up to you either to judge or categorize what activity of God is most important. Ladies and gentlemen, he's God. He can do anything he wants to in any manner that he wants to because he's God. But I want you to know that I think it's pretty important that God is doing all that infinite love and wisdom can do to draw men and women to himself. Man, I'm glad I can tell you about that this morning. I'm so glad. But let's get a little more concise. What is God doing? God is calling. God is calling. What is the activity of God? He's calling. That's the answer to what? Now, secondly, why is God calling? I want to offer several reasons why God is calling. First of all, because men and women are lost. You see, God wouldn't be calling if they weren't lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53 and 6. The wicked are estranged from the womb, going astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Psalm 58 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them who are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Psalm 119, 176. Why is God calling? Because men and women, and I want to add something here, men and women, I believe, who are sitting in the congregation at North Raleigh Chapel are lost. But again, why is God calling? Not only because they're lost, but because we've all sinned. Now, I want to keep your finger here because we're coming right back. But will you turn with me to Romans chapter 3? Please keep your finger here. We want to come right back to this portion. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We want to break in at verse 9. Now, this is a familiar portion to some. To others, it may not be so familiar. I want to preface before I read this portion and say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write it. I'm only reading it. Notice what it says. Verse 9, Romans 3. What then? Are we better than they? Are we Jews better than the Gentiles? No, in no way. For we have before proved both Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. You know what the picture is here? Sin is like a great big weight on top of every individual, and it's literally crushing the life out of you. Now it goes on, verse 10. As it is written, and it's written in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and here's the quote. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And the description continues of sinful people. Their throat is an open graveyard. How do you like that one? You talk about stinking. That's how sinners are in the sight of God. They stink. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't write that. God did. Now back to our portion. Listen, to sin means to miss the mark. And every one of us in the sight of God have missed the mark. We've missed the target. More than that, we have transgressed. We've walked all over God's law. Well, listen, if we're honest this morning, not one of us have measured up to the standard that we have set for ourselves. Much less the standard that God has set. You know what God said to a certain lawyer one day? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Now listen, let's be honest. Not one of us has done this since the day we were born. And this is just a small segment of God's commandment, of God's standard. There's a principle stated in Ezekiel chapter 18. It's stated in chapter 18 and verse 4 and chapter 18 and verse 20. This is what it says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the reason God calls us is because every one of us is going to die. This is an inescapable reality. I take funerals all the time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 declares, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, listen, God calls because we're all lost. God calls because we've all sinned. But again, God calls because every one of us has a need. Our Lord Jesus said these words, and Jesus answering said unto him, they that are well, they that are whole, have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke 5, 31 and 32. Our God said of sinning and needful Israel these words, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither have they been bound up, neither have they been mollified with ointment. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Oh, listen. God calls us this morning because we're all lost. He calls us because we've all sinned. He calls us because we've all got a need. But again, God calls us because he doesn't want anyone to die in his sins. You say to me, Mr. Pilon, how do you know that? I'll tell you how I know. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 declares it. He, God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And when God spared not his son, he allowed him to go to the cross. Because you and I would otherwise have to die for our own sins. God calls us because he doesn't want us to die in our sins. There's a principle stated in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. This is what God says. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Now, did you know that it's possible, I'm not stretching it at all, to equate holiness with happiness? God wants us to be happy. You see, he calls himself the blessed God or the happy God. The Bible makes it crystal clear that in giving his son, God calls to himself. But did you notice what our text says? Look at verse 24 again. Because I have called, and you have refused. You know, this is almost unthinkable. But this is stated by the God who cannot lie, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. These are the words of what it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, what is God doing? What is God's activity? God is doing everything that infinite love and wisdom can do to draw wandering men and women to himself. God is calling. Now, why is he calling? Because we're all lost. Because we've all sinned. Because we all have a need. Because God doesn't want us to die in our sins. But furthermore, he calls because up to this moment, some here have refused. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. What? Why? And now how? How does God call? God calls through nature. Every one of us, if we're honest, as we look at the things around us, have to acknowledge the authority and the creative power of God. I am told by those who study astronomy that there are millions of stars and there are many, many, many galaxies. And every time they get a more powerful telescope, they discover more. You know what I read the other day? Psalm 147 and verse 4. These are the Lord's words. He appointed the number of the stars and he calleth them all by name. That's God. That's God. All the stars that scientists have discovered, and the millions that they haven't discovered yet, he's got the number of them all. And he's named every one. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why the psalmist declared in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. God calls through nature. But then again, God calls through common things. He uses some metaphors, things that we understand. He calls through a door. You know what he said? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 10 and verse 9. He uses it in another aspect when he calls it the door of a heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me, Revelation 3:20.
He calls through common things, a door. He calls through the setting of a table.
Our Lord said on one occasion these words, "Or what man of you, if his son shall ask of him bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts unto them who ask him?" Luke chapter 5, or Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. God calls through ordinary things, a door, the setting of a table. He even calls through the legal profession. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator," there it is, "between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, we have a barrister, we have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 1 John 2 and 1. See, God calls through common things. A door, the setting of a table, a lawyer. He also calls through those engaged in agriculture. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." John 12, 29. Oh, believe me, God's calling. He calls through nature. He calls through common things, a door, the setting of a table, the legal profession, and those engaged in agriculture. But then, God calls through history. When you read your Bible, you will find that much of it is historical. When you read the Old Testament, you start in Genesis and you go all the way through to Nehemiah and even farther. And for the most part, it's history. And as you read it, it becomes obvious through the experiences recorded how God feels about men. You soon learn that. You see, God wants to love them and bless them. Listen to the Old Testament. Ho! I guess we use that down here in the South once in a while, don't we? Ho! Listen! "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And why laboreth for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. You see, God calls through common things. Nature. Common things. History. But he also calls through the prophets. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. Listen to what the prophet Malachi says. Malachi was the last prophet whose words are recorded. You know what he said? He says the words of God. These are God's words spoken through the prophet. Here's what he says. "I have loved you, saith the Lord." If you want to have some fun sometime, you want to take that and do a word study on that phrase. You know what it means? Malachi is saying, he's speaking the words of God. You know what God's saying? "I've always loved you." Can you get better words than that? That's what he said. And then the prophet Ezekiel. And you know what he says in Ezekiel 18 and 31? "Why will you die?" God doesn't want sinners to die in their sins. He doesn't want them. He answers his own question in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32. He says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord." Then Isaiah shouts, another great prophet, another message from God. Incline your ear unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Oh, you see, God calls. He calls through nature. He calls through common things. He calls through history. He calls through the prophets. But he also calls through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit uses various facets in his activity. He's the convicting spirit. Our Lord Jesus said just before he went to the cross of Calvary of the Holy Spirit, nevertheless, of a truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And now listen. And when he is come, he will judge the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The convicting spirit. But he also calls through the convincing word. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. He calls through the convicting spirit. He calls through the convincing word. He also calls through controlling providence. Many of us have gone through experiences, and after we have passed through, we've said, oh, but for the providence of God, it would have been futile, fatal. Haven't you, as I, had some experience, and all of a sudden, your heart's up in your throat, and you can't even speak. And all you can say is, thank God. God calls through controlling providence. But then God also calls through compounded judgment. Some have come through experiences. And if you were to talk to me this morning, you'd probably say, Mr. Pilon, I don't understand them. Real trials. Blatant tragedy. And unexplained bereavement. When you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 7, it says this. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of joy. You say, why is that? Well, I'll tell you, the preacher goes on to explain in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The reason it's better to go to the house of mourning is so that the wicked will take it to heart. Can you imagine it? God is saying this morning, I'm doing all that infinite love and wisdom can do to draw wandering men and women to myself. And then he adds, and you have refused. What is God doing? He's calling. Why is he called? How is he called? And now finally, the results of refusing his call. I have reason to believe that some here this morning have repeatedly refused God's call. By your actions, you have indicated that you think you can do better for yourself than the God who made you can. Your actions seem to indicate that you have control over your own life. I want to quote a verse to you. It's found in two places in the Bible, exactly the same. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. Listen to these words. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof
are the ways of death. You can refuse. But I want you to come back now to my portion and see what the Word of God declares if you do. The latter part of verse 24. This is God speaking. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not. In other words, you have shoved aside all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Now notice verse 26. And I don't know about you, but it's awfully hard for me to comprehend what it says. Notice what God says. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when fear cometh. Aren't those terrible words? But I want you to know something. God loves before he laughs. Isn't it amazing, or is it amazing, that men will laugh at God and laugh at his word? They do it all the time. And it isn't so amazing that when men laugh at God and laugh at his word, that someday God will laugh at them. But notice in verse 26, the middle part of the verse, God says, I will mock. Remember, God won't mock until you have mocked. Every time you hear the word of God and you refuse, you mock. If you laugh, God will laugh. If you mock, God will mock. If you neglect so great salvation, God will neglect you. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You won't. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the kindness in my heart, I want to tell you something. We are dealing with a God of love, but we're also dealing with a God of truth. And he longs to save lost souls of men and women. And you refuse. Notice verse 28. If you do, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, I don't know of more solemn words in print anywhere in the world than right there.
That's God. That's God's word.
Now, I'm kind of glad that verse 33 is there. Notice what it says. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Whoso hearkeneth. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you all so quickly. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen. This is a message of the gospel. And he declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever hearkeneth, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth shall dwell in safety, shall have everlasting life, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. What a message. There it is. Whoso hearkeneth. He's calling. He's calling you. Don't refuse. I'm indebted to Mr. Robert Constable for the following story I want to relate, which I heard him tell this summer. There was a group of Boy Scouts who with their scoutmaster went to in California to Yosemite Park with the idea of climbing Half Dome. The scoutmaster took them out. They started early in the morning, and they climbed the mountain. It took them nearly half a day. When they got to the top of the mountain, they had their lunch. And then two boys came to the scoutmaster, and they said, you mind if we go down by the way of the shortcut? And he knew, and they knew the way, and he said, certainly. He said, we'll meet you back at the lodge. So the boys started out, and the other boys finished cleaning up the little debris that had been spread through eating their lunch, and then they went down, the group of boys with the scoutmaster, went down the mountain the way they had come up. At the end of the afternoon, the group came at the lodge, and they made inquiry about the other two boys. And they said, where are the other two boys? What boys? We haven't seen them. So they immediately decided, well, we better go out and look for them because it'll soon be dark. And so they all went out and they scoured the valley. And they climbed a little way up the mountain and the boys weren't anywhere to be found. So they returned back to the lodge. Then they called in the park rangers and they said, oh, it's going to be dark soon. We'll have to go out. And so out they went too. And they all searched for those two boys. And they didn't find them. And finally, darkness overtook them, and so they just said, well, we'll have to wait until tomorrow morning. In the meantime, they called the fathers of the two boys. As they were sitting in the lodge and wondering about them, suddenly, late into the night, one of the boys came in. He followed the shadow of the light as it came out on the hillside, the mountainside, and he came back safely. And they said, where's your friend? Oh, he began to cry. He said, we not only got lost, but we became separated. So in the morning early, the search party started out and they searched all day. And all the next day. And all the next day. And try as they did, they couldn't find the boy. And every time someone would say, I just can't go any farther, the boy's father was there. He said, oh, listen, he's my boy. Go out and find him. Come on, come with me. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, you can't search forever. So finally, the search was called off. The park rangers in Yosemite Park, National Park, say the saddest thing they know of is this. Every Friday night for several weeks, that boy's father used to come out on Friday night. He'd stay at the lodge. He'd get up at daybreak in the morning, and he'd go toward the mountain over a different place each time, and he'd go all day calling his boy's name, calling, until his voice was gone. He never heard a sound. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're talking about this morning. God's calling. He's calling. He's calling men and women at North who are attending North Raleigh Chapel this morning. He's calling you. He's calling you. Don't you refuse. Shall we pray? Just before we pray, I want to give an opportunity to any who feel their need, who know that God's been speaking to them this morning and maybe previously. You need some help. You know that God's calling you and you really want to be saved, but you just don't know how. And you'd like to indicate your need. All our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you just put up your hand so we can remember you in prayer this morning, wherever you are. God's speaking to you. He's calling. Is there anyone who would just lift their hand and indicate that you want to be prayed for this morning? Any place in the audience.
Because I have called and you have refused. Heavenly Father, seal this message with thy blessing, we pray. In the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Just one verse in our hymnals, please. 246, just the first stanza only.